Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture passage comes from Isaiah and is entitled Joy of the Redeemed. As in most passages in Isaiah, it's a prophecy, and it's loaded with metaphors and allusions to other things. In this passage, the Lord, speaking through Isaiah, prophesies the redemption of both the Israelites, that would be in the near future of Isaiah's time, but also the coming of the Messiah, in which he would redeem not only the Israelites, but also the Gentiles. He's going to call them from the parched desert. This will be a time when the Gentiles will be able to see the glory of God, for their eyes will be opened and their ears will be unstopped. It'll be a time of jubilee for all those peoples of the world, both Israelites and Gentiles, who are redeemed and sanctified through the cross of Jesus Christ, the way of holiness. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst forth into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your Lord will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs, the haunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. A highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on the way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and the sorrow and sighing will flee away. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. When the Messiah comes, there will be singing. I think most of us love the music of Christmas. Of course, I realize that not all of us are musicians, though. A man and his wife were browsing in a craft store one day when the man noticed a display of country-style musical instruments. After looking over the flutes and the dulcimers and the recorders, he picked up a shiny one-string instrument he took to be a mouth harp. He put it to his lips and, much to the amusement of the people in the store watching, he twanged out a few notes. And after watching from a distance, his wife came over and whispered in his ear, I hate to tell you this, honey, but you're trying to play a cheese slicer. Not all of us are musicians. One woman was talking about her parents who had recently retired. Her mom always wanted to learn to play the piano, so her dad brought her a brand new piano for her birthday. A few weeks later, the woman asked how her mom was doing with it. Oh, we returned that piano. I persuaded her to switch to a clarinet instead. The woman said, how come? Well, because with a clarinet, you cannot sing while you play. You know, we're not all great singers, and that's all right. We can still make a joyful noise, and I always laugh about it. when I talk, speak, I speak into the microphone, but when I sing, I step away from the microphone. That is not, yes, far away. So it's not to hurt you. I would hate to think of this season of the year without the great Christmas hymns and the great carols that we sing. Of course, times, they are changing, as Bob Dylan said. Have you ever noticed that the Christmas tradition of caroling seems to be disappearing? When's the last time someone actually came to your house caroling? I can't remember it. However, I did read about a new twist on the old tradition, what we might call virtual caroling. Radio Shack had a commercial on television a few years ago and said, this is how it's done. And an older lady opens her door to find an iPod on the front stoop. Out of that small, sleek iPod comes the tinny sound and tiny pictures of children singing. Hark the herald angels sing. And next door, the children at the window waving at the woman. Virtual caroling. YouTube boasts more than 300 caroling tubes. You can see all kinds on the internet. And we can enjoy the carolers without even leaving our living room, our 50-inch TV screens. Just open the door and look out and see the new way. In today's prophecy, Isaiah tells us when the Messiah comes, there will be singing. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And I'm certain that all of us look forward to that day. And it would be difficult to paint a picture in which the joy of the Lord is portrayed more vividly than that. They will enter Zion with singing. Music is very important to us at this Christmas time. And I appreciate those who ring the bells and our musicians and our choir and all of you who sing so heartily. The Gospel of Luke doesn't actually tell us that the angels were singing. Here's how the verse from Luke's Gospel actually reads. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Luke tells us they were saying, not singing. Yet I like to think, as most of you do, that the angels were singing. Maybe the angels were rapping out a message. I kind of doubt that. They didn't know about rap then. Yet I would still like to think that these angels are singing very lustily with their heart and their soul, their mind, everything that they have, that they're singing to the glory of God in a beautiful, wonderful harmony. Music is such a wonderful gift from God. It touches us in so many ways. Music gives us the opportunity to express our joy and our thanksgiving at this time of the year and all year. Famous preacher of another generation, Spurgeon, once said, I used to know an old Methodist, and the first thing in the morning when he got up, he began singing a bit of a hymn. And if I met the old man during the day, he was always singing. And when I said to him, why do you always sing, dear brother? He says, because I have something to sing about. And that's a good enough reason to sing. In Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah promises the people that they one day will return to Zion. Zion is symbolic of Jerusalem, the promised land. And Isaiah was writing during the times of the divided kingdom. The land had been overrun numerous times by enemies, and prisoners of war had been carried away into slavery in distant lands. And Isaiah promises that one day they will be able to return to Zion, the holy city, the city of God, Jerusalem. For them, this will be a time of great joy, so they sing. For Christians, Zion is the city of God, which is heaven. And when we enter heaven, I believe that there will be singing. I cannot imagine heaven without singing. For those of us who know Christ's love in our hearts, there is a need to say thank you to God for what he has done for us as individuals and families and a nation. And we express that joy so often through the gift of singing. I think I used this illustration one time before, but it just really touches me when you look out at the vast universe. Charles Duke, a former astronaut, came to Christ after some years after he had walked on the moon. After his time with NASA, he lacked purpose and meaning in his life, and his wife, Dottie, was very troubled. In fact, she contemplated suicide. But then she began to attend church and gave her life and her heart to Jesus. Sometimes later at his wife's Bible study, he did the same thing. And he found a new compelling purpose for his life. And today he offers this comment on his conversation. He says, "Walking on the moon cannot compare with walking on earth with Jesus." When you feel like that, you want to sing. Music allows us to express our joy and our thanksgiving to God. And music draws us closer together as the family of God, as the family of Christ. I can see that band of refugees Isaiah visions returning to the homeland, singing as they travel. And I love to be part of a congregation that is singing the great hymns of the church and even the great new contemporary songs. We sing together and we feel as if we are an extended family, which we are. And that's the way Christmas ought to be. Rich was a beloved artist and songwriter in the world of contemporary music, and for his tragic kill in an accident on September the 19th, 1997. He had written many beautiful praise songs that have touched people's lives and their hearts. And Eric had a close friend, Eric, a close friend of Rick, recalled being with him in a worship service just a few days before he was killed in that accident. Everyone had brought their instruments to play and sing together, and the music sounded awful. That happens sometimes. Even the leaders were singing out of tune. So Rich later went to the microphone and said, "You know, I love to be in church. I love to listen to the people sing from their heart and to play the music from their heart. In my profession, we worry about being in tune and always sounding good and perfect, but this music tonight, I believe, is the most pleasing of all to God because it is so real and it comes from the heart of the children of God." Some of us know what he's talking about. We know about the power of music to draw people together in worship. And it reaches across the boundaries of the social and gender and race and touches us in a very unique way. I believe in a way that even the spoken word cannot do. Under a cultural exchange program, a rabbi from Russia was visiting with a Christian family in Texas. Since it was Christmas, the family wanted to take him to one of the finest restaurants in Houston. If you've ever been to Houston, there's just restaurant after restaurant after restaurant of all kinds of food. So they found a favorite Chinese restaurant that they wanted to attend. Throughout the meal, the rabbi told of the wonders of America in comparison to the bleak conditions of his homeland. When he had finished eating, the waiter brought the check, a fortune cookie, and a small Christmas tree ornament as a present to the rabbi. They all laughed when the rabbi pointed out that ornaments were stamped "Made in India." But the laughter soon subsided when they saw that the rabbi was silently crying, tears coming down his cheeks. They all thought that the rabbi must have been offended by receiving a Christmas ornament as a gift. He said no. He shook his head and smiled. "Yet I was shedding tears of joy because of the wonder of this country. In a Chinese restaurant, a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas present made by a Hindu." That's America nowadays. But Christmas reminds us that Christ came to shine his light into the heart of everyone on earth, to the Buddhists, to the Muslims, to the Hindus, to everyone, that they would open up their eyes and see Jesus Christ as the one true way. When we sing, hopefully, as the family of God. And I've often wondered why God created us with voices so different. The altos and sopranos, they go higher, and the bass goes so low. But even when we blend our voices into one glorious sound, to me it qualifies as proof of God's existence. I don't believe that music and the gift of singing could have just happened haphazardly. I believe it was created by an almighty God to to bless humanity. We sing joy to the world and hark the herald angels sing. And I believe that the angels in heaven sing with us. When the Messiah comes, there will be singing. And singing allows us to express our joy and to express our thanksgiving. And singing draws us closer as the family of God. And music speaks to us of God. Read the words of some of the hymns and contemporary songs. And that is why music has always been a part of the church. And of course, that is why music is such a big part, not only of our lives, but of this Advent Christmas season. So let us prepare for the birth of Christ with songs of joy, and let us sing from the depths of our souls, and let us do it with a sense of thanksgiving, and let us sing here at Glenshaw Valley as one unified voice as the family of God. Let us pray that in the music we will sense the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and the life of our congregation, and it'll draw us closer to one another and draw us closer to God. Isaiah writes about the coming messianic age. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. That, my friends, is the promise of Advent and the promise of Christmas. And I think that's worth singing about. May God bless you. Amen.